Blog Talk Radio.
And we're live. It's Reese on the Radio. As we did before, a month ago, live, we are on the I-95. We call this Live on I-95 Part 2. I have to make an admission. I am Reese on the Radio. With me is my co-pilot, my road dog, Mary. Mary, why are you bugging? Because she's in the driver's seat, so she better be my road dog because she's the one on the road. She's doing all the driving. And I have to make an admission, this was not a good weekend for me. Probably one of my toughest ever. And if there's anything that I could do to let the world know how appreciative I am of somebody who is near and dear to me, who kind of rode this whole thing out with me, is Mary Mary, why you bugging, who has been kind of my rock for the past couple of months. She has been exceptional in dealing with me and all of my bull and everything that I had to deal with, and never ever once judging me or making me feel like I was a piece of crap. So I owe her a great deal of gratitude, and I, in a lot of ways, I owe her my life. So I want everybody to know that you know, what you think about Mary, what you know about Mary, you may not know much because we don't disclose a lot. But I will tell you that if there's anybody in this world that I appreciate a great deal, it's Mary, Mary, why you bug it? You hear a lot of, you hear guys like, you know, Ja Rule and DMX, I need a ride or die chick, you know, all that other stuff. Yeah, that's all make-believe. Mary, Mary, why you bugging is a real, true, honest ride or die chick, and I would have, years ago, I would have said that didn't exist, but that's my homie B Money Slice grip. You want to give me up high? Up high? Give me a little high five?
Down low.
Down low. Oh, look at her. She played me out, sucker. Anyway. So that's right. It's live on the I-95 Part 2. JC, where you at? You there? Let's get his volume up. Where's JC at?
No, I'm right here. I'm right here.
Okay, good, good, good. Yeah. Is Justin on the line, too?
Nope, not as yet.
No, okay. Well, where the hell is Justin? All right, well, we'll call him and we'll scream at him later. Nonetheless, yeah. We're on our way up to New York. Mary has promised me that she is not going to kill anyone, or me, for that matter. She will not do any vehicular damage to anyone on the road. She will probably curse and scream and holler and do all that good stuff. But she promised me that she'll be as patient as she possibly can. How are you feeling so far, Mary?
I'm feeling fine.
You sure?
I'm sure.
Like, you don't feel like you're going to flip out?
No, not yet.
You don't have to deal with no maniacs on the roads? That road looks clear. It does. It looks clear.
Yeah, it is clear right here until we get to Bmore. And then it's going to be
Can you say the real state for those people who don't understand?
Okay, for everybody out there that doesn't understand what Bmore means, it's short for Baltimore. It's the ghetto version of Baltimore.
But you're not ghetto. Why do you keep pretending to be ghetto?
I'm not pretending to be ghetto. I'm just Mary.
Are you saying that you're ghetto?
Oh, there is a ghetto person in there.
Well, could you get rid of them?
No.
Anyway. Nonetheless.
Never that.
We're on the I-95. All right. They're already acting like fools.
A little fender bender on the side of the road, and these jokers want to slow down to 45 miles an hour.
Yep. Let me let everybody know that there may be some cursing on the air tonight, because I may have to scream all types of shiza and all that type of stuff riding with Mary.
Look at that, all the morons got them on the same exit. Look at that. But they all must be going to the same convention.
So we'll be dealing with that all day. So we got plenty of things to talk about tonight, of course. We are not just going to talk about my court case, of course, which happens tomorrow, which we've gotten no updates from.
But I can tell you already what's going to happen. They're going to dismiss the case.
I don't know why Mary keeps saying that. But there are some...
Would you like me to tell the listeners why I keep saying that?
Yeah, tell the listeners.
So this is my analogy. I went within the court last time, was in the courtroom, heard and saw what happened or what didn't happen, for a lack of better words. And lawyer doesn't know what's going on. Nobody knows what's going on. The DA's office has not contacted the lawyer, hasn't told anybody anything. You can't just walk into the courtroom. If there was something that was going to happen that was going to be detrimental, we would have some type of inkling that it was going to happen. So I believe that they have come to the end. They have nothing left to fight with. They're weaponless. And they're going to just wave the white flag and give up and let you go.
And so that's what it is that you saw from that, just because they didn't have anything to say?
Well,
just because they were quiet?
No, they canceled the hearing. They didn't tell you that they canceled the hearing until 6 o'clock the night before, or 8. You didn't get the message until after 8. You were already on the road.
It was 9 o'clock when I got that message.
Okay, so we were already on the road, halfway there or a quarter of the way there. They haven't contacted your lawyer. Nobody knows what's going on. They can't just take you into the courtroom and bamboozle you without your lawyer knowing something. So I'm making the assumption that they're going to drop the case, because I don't see that they have any other business. What else are they going to do? Are they going to bring some surprise?
Of course.
Surprise information to the table tomorrow? No, because there is no surprise information. We all know that you're innocent, and they know that you're innocent, and they're going to have to let it go. They're going to have to bite the dust.
For those of you who are new to this whole scenario, if you missed it last week, the bottom line was, when we went to court last month, the idea was that my accuser had been refusing to come to court and testify again at a trial after she had testified in my first trial 1 year ago in March. So the whole idea was that she was refusing to testify. She had hired her own attorney to keep her from having to take the stand.
Because she said she was too traumatized to get on the stand.
Well, let's make that clear. That was not her. That's what the attorney, that was the statement made by the prosecutor's office, was that their reason for her not getting on the stand was that she was too traumatized to face another trial. She's so traumatized by what happened, she couldn't get on the stand again. We knew the truth. We've always exposed the truth, that it wasn't about her being traumatized. It was about she couldn't deal with the fact that she was caught in so many lies and in changing her story. We were well aware of that. She was well aware of it. We knew that she was aware of it. She was also aware of the fact that the Detective Robert Arbuzo, who is the detective that she made her claims to in the first place, was now testifying for the defense that she had changed her story. So she was up against it. She knew it, and she knew that this was going to be about her credibility versus the detective she gave her story to in the first place. This wasn't about me anymore. This is about the people she made claims to, and her lie was unraveling. So now, saying that she was too traumatized to testify again, they were going to be forced to prove that in the court of law. So they were going to bring in family members and a psychiatrist or a psychologist or whomever they had and put them on the stand to prove that she wasn't capable of testifying again.
They were going to bring in her uncle and her mother.
Well, the point was that one day, the 11th hour, one day before court, the prosecutors withdraw that motion to have this hearing where family members and the psychiatrist or psychologist, whatever, were going to testify that she was incapable of testifying at a new trial. They withdraw it. So they give us a month. They give them a month to decide on what role they're going to take now, where they're going to go with this whole trial. Now, my lawyer, who's a good guy, David Cohen, has said that he has good feelings about this. as you just heard from Mary Mary, Why You Bugging, she's saying that she has good feelings about this.
Tomorrow could potentially be like your birthday.
It could be. But let me say this, folks. I have to say this. If there's one thing I know about the prosecutor's office is that I don't trust them. Now, if this were 4 years ago, I would have told you that the criminal justice system was an outstanding and upstanding piece of our legislature. That was a great factor of our judicial system. But dealing with these people today, I don't trust anything that they do. Everything that they do is underhanded. Everything that they do has nothing to do with in the scales of justice. I don't believe anything it is that they are or anything it is that they will ever be. I believe that there's no such thing as a criminal justice system. I do believe that there's just a criminal system working inside that office. And their job is just to make you a criminal, no matter what. I don't believe that they believe...
And their job is to make you a criminal because their job is to prosecute and win cases so that they can keep their job. Now, I think that this is why it's been... They probably wanted to let it go a long time ago, and they're pulling at their purse strings. Now they have nothing. They never did have anything, and what they had was a crock of shit. But if they drop the charges and they say, you know, well, we believe that he's guilty, but there's a lack of evidence to prove that, we cannot, you know, we cannot proceed. So, you know, we just have to let him walk. Then every other case that they've prosecuted is going to be questioned. So, of course, why wouldn't it be? Why wouldn't it be?
I don't think we can go that far. I think in this case, they wanted to believe their quote-unquote victim here. I believe that they wanted to believe her.
Yeah, but their victim is a reckless... I'm sorry.
I know what you were going to say. Look,
the so-called victim.
The veracity of my claims have always been under question. And, again... In the criminal justice system, I think what most people have realized is the severity of the crime. You have to spend the rest of your life defending something, no matter whether you've done it or not, is that all you have to do is pin something on a guy, and he spends the rest of his life defending it.
Something like that, yes.
Well, no, anything. It depends on the severity of the crime. You know, we dealt with this with Mitt Romney recently when one of the campaign managers referred to Mitt Romney as a possible felon. And there was no merit to support what the woman said. She called him a felon because he may have lied and said that he was still the head of Bain Capital when he wasn't after 1999. But she said he could have possibly been a felon. But the fact that they put it out there, now people are saying, whoa, could he have been a felon? It's the nature of the crime. It's the severity of the crime. My accuser went out and told somebody that I raped her. And her veracity will never be questioned. It'll never be questioned that, whoa, could you be lying about that? It'll always be that the direction immediately goes towards me. Wow, if she had enough gall to say that you did it, is there any possible truth to it? Spend the rest of your life defending it, will you? And we'll keep questioning you about it. But did you do it? Did you do it? Did you do it? I did one interview where a guy kept asking me during the entire interview, said, if you didn't do it, then why'd she blame you? I was like, I have no way of knowing why she would blame me.
Why don't you ask her and all the up and the same woman that...
But she'll never have to answer to her claims. She'll never... be held responsible every day.
And wait a minute, you will never have to answer to anybody if they're not putting a roof over your head, clothes on your back, money in your pocket, or food in your mouth.
Well, I agree with that. But the bottom line is that no one will ever question her as to why she made the claim. Because with that one interview I had, first thing kept saying, she said, why you? Why would she accuse you if you didn't do it? I'm going, I don't know. That makes no sense to me.
Because she's a lying sack of shit, and you're an easy target. You were an easy target at that point, I guess. I'm assuming.
Why was I easy, though? See, I would even ask that question. Why was I an easy target? I guess because I was kind of far removed. I was far removed.
You were far removed. You weren't there. She probably didn't expect for her mother to be like, oh, we have to go to the police and blah, blah. You know, she probably didn't expect for it to go as far as it did. And when it started to go that far, she couldn't back out. And then she, you know, she left Schitt's Creek. And now she's ruined your life. But she, you know, you're a 6'5" black man that used to be with one of her friend's mothers. So why wouldn't you be? And she's a white girl, a little white girl. Why wouldn't you be an easy target? Well, you know, I mean,
are you saying that there was a part of her background that would have made her accuse me?
No, there's a part of your skin color that would have made her.
Do you really believe this is race baited?
No, I'm saying I don't think it's race baited. I think that you were an easy target. Had you been white, you might not have been the first person to come to her mind when she decides to tell her mother.
Oh, you believe that my skin color added to the heinousness and the outrage?
Oh, well, definitely. And your height and your body size. I mean, you're 6'5". Can you imagine a girl that's saying at the age of 16, oh, at 11 years old, this 6'5" black man raped me? I mean, can you imagine? Now, if you were 5'2" and white, it may not, you know, and you weren't a radio host, it probably would have never got the press that it got. And once they figured out that you didn't, that this girl was lying, and you had proof to show that it wasn't even possible because you weren't there, you know, if you would have been white, they probably would have dropped it. A long time.
So you believe that a lot of the actions by these people were based upon race and
the fact that you have
notoriety,
the fact that you have access to, I mean, CNN came and interviewed you. Do you think that the New York City District Attorney's Office wants any more bad publicity when it comes to sexual assault cases? They don't.
JC, you still there? How we doing? Is he even there?
Yeah, I am. I'm here.
Oh,
I'm here.
JC, you got to stay with us because we're on the phone. And we're on the phone. We're live on air, my man.
I was just worried whether or not we were just talking to ourselves.
No. It's just that sometimes I have my phone on mute and I forget that I got it on mute.
All right, so we're coming in live and clear?
Oh, loud and clear, yes. Not a problem. If there's a problem, I'll let you know.
Okay. All right. So you know what we'll do? Let's take a break for now. We'll come back. We got a whole bunch of other news that I got to get into, but, you know, when we get back. So play a commercial break, and we'll be back in about 7 minutes. And we got so much more stuff to talk about. Hey, homosexuals have literally overtaken the Negroes in America. Negroes are playing second fiddle to homosexuals. We've got to get in that when we get in the back.
I thought you were playing second fiddle to white folks.
they've been pushed back so far. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. Stick around. It's Reese on the Radio.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message. 4 years ago, we made history. Now it's time to move forward and finish what we started together. We have to show the president. We have his back.
We can't afford to spend the next 4 years going back. I'm running to make sure that by the end of the decade, more of our citizens hold a college degree than any other nation on earth. I refuse to pay for another millionaire's tax cut by kicking children off of Head Start programs, or asking students to pay more for college, or eliminating health insurance for millions of poor and elderly and disabled Americans on Medicaid.
Have the president's back and register to vote. Go to gottavote.org to register now. That's gottavote.org.
You got your back. paid for by Obama for America.
Have you missed Reese on the Radio recently? Well, don't worry. You can always go to the archives of Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Anybody heard from LaToya on this one? Isn't she eerily absent?
She's a big mouth in the family.
She is the big mouth. She's dropping loose change on the family. She's not into dimes. She likes quarters, half dollars. But that I find extremely odd that she's not around. She's got to get her act together. Get in here. I mean, I can't believe I'm actually saying this. LaToya, please come out and get this family in order. You're the only one left to do it. In all of this mayhem, you're the only person that seems normal here. And you're an extreme whack job. You're an extreme whack job. But through all of this, you're the only normal person throughout this whole thing, with the exception of the kids. Maybe not Blanket so much. But all of them, you look like the normal one.
It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
If I don't recognize your name, you're Rodova. Look, I don't make this much beef about my broad getting into the house to cook me a meatloaf. But they're really excited about this guy going from one souffle to a big zucchini. I don't know what it is. But she can't stop yammering about this.
Was it Michael Simon?
That's him. That's the guy. Michael Simon. Never forget him. Okay, I'll always forget his name because he's a nobody. But anyway, Michael Simon, the ball-headed guy, right? That's him.
Right.
Okay, so yeah, he wears a lot of plaid.
Yeah, that's
so he's dressed like a chef. Whatever.
He's an Iron Chef.
Yeah. Is he an Iron Chef?
Yeah, yes.
Is that significant?
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Is it a big deal in the foodie world?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah, it is. Pretty big.
Seriously?
Yeah, it is.
They can lick my balsamic vinegar.
It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
We will not take a dime from Washington lobbyists or special interest cuts. They will not fund my party. They will not run our White House. We're going to change how Washington works.
This headline in today's New York Times sure seems at odds with that promise to put Washington on the side of the little guy, not the lobbyist.
A rather long list of names of people who are working on Obama's transition team or who have accepted jobs in his White House.
I'm in this race to tell the lobbyists in Washington that their days of setting the agenda are over. They will not work in my White House.
The administration has hired several lobbyists, the president of a lobbying firm that worked for General Motors and Fannie Mae.
Sally Sussman leads Pfizer's powerful lobbying shop. She's organized events for the president, and she's also donated money for the president and bundled for him.
Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner appointed former top lobbyist for Goldman Sachs as his chief of staff. Appointed to the number two position at the Defense Department, a former top lobbyist.
Hundreds of meetings between Obama administration officials and lobbyists, and no official record of who.
The number of fundraisers for the president and also benefited hugely from the energy loan program.
Isn't the president opening himself up to just a charge of hypocrisy on this?
Just a litany of people who have raised so much money who are clearly lobbyists.
President Obama hasn't even made a token effort to keep his campaign promises of more openness and transparency. It was all just another lie that was told in order to get elected.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? It's because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Funk.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Dear Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Bush.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues
and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Roots on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
It's Reese on the Radio. We're back. Are we back? It's Reese on the Radio live on the I-95, right here on blogtalkradio.com. So, I heard something very interesting today, Mary, and that's only because Mary told me. So, the platform of the Democratic National Convention this year is going to be gay marriage. They have drawn a line in the sand, folks, that the Democrats have decided that the new order is to talk about homosexuality and gay marriage. The rights of gay marriage, folks. That is going to be the platform of the Democratic National Convention. They have decided that nothing else is more important than homosexuality. And I am a little shocked that the plight of Negroes will not be the platform of the first African-American president to run for re-election. Am I losing my mind, folks? Has this president decided that it has nothing to do with him being black anymore? Is he finally realizing that it doesn't matter that he's black?
Has he denounced his blackness?
He has denounced his blackness.
Is there going to be a secret butt scandal soon?
Oh, no.
Will there be another, like, Clinton scandal in the Oval Office?
Well, let's hope that doesn't happen.
Whether it be man or maid.
Do you know what'll happen if Barack Obama was ever caught in a Lewinsky scandal? Do you understand how
it's
people...
A man.
No, I wasn't going to say that either. But Barack Obama doesn't, it seemed, the least bit homosexual.
There's a lot of people that don't think to be homosexual, but they are.
Are you kidding me? You really believe that about President Barack Obama?
I'm not saying I believe that. What I'm saying is...
Well, he definitely is metro.
What's that?
Definitely a metrosexual.
Yeah, no, definitely metro.
He's probably a little more metrosexual than...
Maybe he thinks his duck sip isn't homosexual. Maybe he thinks that's just...
Well, no. His background screams something a little more than that. What I look at...
Remember the guy on YouTube?
When I look at President Obama, I look at a guy who is trying to play up any minority that he can use that's a benefit to him. And I believe that he looks at this and says, look, I'm not going to win with blue-collar, maybe even white-collar whites. Blacks, I already got them. Latinos, that's an easy one. Romney's not winning there. I need to go completely radical and go after a group that is rarely, rarely tapped, no pun intended, that is rarely tapped for political gain. And I believe homosexuality is one of those rare sort of factors in elections.
Well, the homosexuals are going to give him money. That's the thing. Black people ain't going to give him no money. They don't feel like they should have to give no money because he's black. And they black. So we got your back. He's black.
And not only that,
we have to go back too. But they're going to put some cash in your back.
Go ahead, Jixie.
And I think they've come to the realization that niggas ain't going to the polls this time. There's no Obama charge. Oprah's not up there leading the charge. There's no excitement. You don't even know why he even realizes that he's even running right now, campaigning.
Well, this is, and you're absolutely right there, JC. I believe that there's a base that Barack Obama can energize in young people by doing this whole thing with homosexuals. That going after the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, I think that they see that there's a base that they can rally, especially this particular base, homosexuals, they can rally before, you know, that they never could before. Because remember, first time it was young people, in the last election in 2008, it was young people. And now they need a new base to rally, and homosexuality can in some ways energize the young base, because there are more young people today who are more accepting of homosexuality than ever before.
So not only that, but those young people that voted for him back in 2008, they're now a part of the economic process, and they realize now that he's done nothing for that process.
Yeah, but you know what? Can this president, or any president for that matter, really win an election by invoking what we call social justice? Because that's what everything he's done is about.
Of course he's going. Win, but he can run on that, because that's what these morons in this country that don't want to educate themselves, that's all they hear and see on the TV, but they're not going back and fact-checking anything. Oh, Barack Obama said health care, food stamps,
right,
and checks, and everything for everybody, and the gays can get married, and the Latinos can stay here, and every other foreign person that doesn't belong here can stay here. Whatever.
And he's counting on that vote. He's counting on that foreign vote.
Say again.
He's counting on that illegal vote from the Mexicans and anybody else who swam over here or floated over here on a cardboard box or screen door in a tube. And he's going to count on especially going rallying for equal rights for gays. He's going to excite Hollywood.
Yeah, but, you know, that's the part that bothers me today, is because if President Obama loses the election, right, in November, does that mean that if Mitt Romney were to win, that then there's going to be this catalyst of people out there who are going to be screaming that Mitt Romney isn't for social justice, and every move he makes is going to be agitated by these people that say, look at this, you know, oh, we're right back to the same old regime. The rich whitey doesn't care about the poor, the blacks, the Latinos, the gays.
Wait a minute, that's not going to happen, because if Romney gets into office and the economy starts to turn around for the better, then all of them people that are for social justice, that now the lining of their pockets are filled with dead presidents, they're going to make a thing. Nothing. It don't matter. They're going to be like, hell, put more money in my pocket. I don't care.
Yeah, but on the same token, Mary, you got to realize this is America. We wanted it yesterday. They're not going to give him time to turn around the economy. I give it 6 months into his presidency, and they're going to say he's a failure, just like Barack is, because he's not going to be able to turn it around into 6 months. And we as Americans, we want it now, we want it yesterday, and we want it,
wanted it the day before.
Yesterday,
but nobody's holding Barack Obama accountable.
There you go.
For all the things that he said he was going to do that he didn't do.
Yeah, but we already know, Mary. What we do know is that
he's going to hold himself accountable, and he's not.
Well, Mary, you know that. When it comes to somebody like Barack Obama, liberals allow him to get away with not doing anything, and they will say, oh, he had a tough economy. You know, he inherited all of this horrible crap. You've got to give him more time. They're never going to hold Mitt Romney to that same criteria. They're going to go get it done tomorrow. They're going to do that.
And then everybody that's a Republican or that voted for Romney can turn around and say, well, look at what he has to say from Barack Obama.
Well, no. First of all, that'll never, ever happen in a Romney administration. He's never going to blame the guy before him. This was a campaign, and I mean by Barack Obama's campaign, that did so much of blaming everybody else. I mean, this is a president.
If he wouldn't have touted all the shit that he was going to do, and then it never got done, it probably wouldn't be this bad. But because he touted so much, if I don't have this done in X and 3 years, then I know it's a one-term thing, and blah, 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 blah. My cabin is going to do this, and we're going to do that. You did nothing for any American people. You haven't even done anything for the gay people. You can get on, the DNC can bring that on there, put that on their desk too, but it ain't going to happen. It's never going to happen. The states are not going to allow gay people to get married, because that's what they're going to tout. They want states to vote, and they want to legalize gay marriage. It ain't going to happen, and Obama's not going to get back in anyway.
But again, That's what it is that he's doing. And that's what I'm talking about, this whole social issue with the president and with the Democratic National Committee, is that their whole idea is to really gin up this outrage, this faux outrage about social justice, and use that for their political platform, that it will be this you against or them against us sort of ideology when the election comes around. This is why I think, this is why I know that this polarized has been about, it doesn't matter in his inauguration speech on January 20th, 2009, when he said the blue states is the United States, but we all knew that was faux in the beginning. This has always been about us versus them. And I really, really believe that today. I've never seen a group of people.
You're fading in and out, Bob. I think this is probably going to be the point where we're going to lose you. Yeah, we lost him on that one, folks. Yeah, stick with us right here on Leafs on the Radio. We're not going to run away. I'm going to keep talking at least until he gets back. Give him a moment to get back on. Of course, we're on our I-95 Part 2 show, where he's traveling 95 northbound, headed into New York City for his court case. So stick with us. Give us a moment. He'll be right back. We were talking about Barack Obama as well as the election, the upcoming election, and what's going on and why Reese feels that this particular campaign season is going to be about more so about the gay marriage and so on and so forth. But I think we're back. You're back, Reese?
Yeah, I'm back. But you know, we're going to have to go through this because we go through dead zones because we're on our cell phone. And
we're ready.
But you know, what's going to happen is.
Wow, you're a dead zone big time there, buddy.
Honestly, that I don't know how bad it's going to get. I'm happy about that this election will be much more relevant than it was during Abraham Lincoln and the Civil War. It is literally an us against them society, and it's pinning Americans versus Americans in this society today. It is the new Civil War. And I believe that this president single-handedly turned this country into that. It turned us into an us versus them, even though we're both citizens of the United States. It will be the poor versus the rich, the has versus the have-nots, and he will have orchestrated that entire ideology, and he knows it, and he doesn't care. Or if he does care, he cares that he turns it into that kind of society.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I think from the bottom of his heart, he wants Americans talking about this or feeling this way. I think he likes the idea that there are people out there who are openly hating and despising this country. I think he likes it. I think that he enjoys it. I think that he is fulfilling his father's dream. If you read anything about his father, about Barack Hussein Obama Sr., if you read anything about his dad, you will realize that these are really the dreams from his father. And this is the world that he wants. He wants us up in arms against one another. He wants us rioting and looting. He wants to see those kids running through the streets, robbing Walmarts. He wants the racism. He wants blacks to hate whites. He wants whites to hate blacks. I really believe it. People got on Glenn Beck's case because they said Glenn Beck called him a racist. But I know. I listened to this man and everything he's done, his policies. He is a racist, he's a classist, and he's not a Manchurian candidate, but I think this man is the essence of pure evil when it comes to people who do not like this country. And he's galvanized a group of people in this country who hate it too and have more apathy towards this country than ever before. And you see it. Look at our friends over at the Real Talk Blancers. They find And if you really, really listen to them, they are not, they're not happy with their president. They've never been happy with him. But they like the fact that he gins up this whole sort of rapport, this whole apathy. And that's my whole point. But anyway, we'll go to a break. We'll get back. We got some more for you. Thanks, JC. Right on point. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. It's Reese on the Radio.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message. 4 years ago, we made history. Now it's time to move forward and finish what we started together. We have to show the president we have his back.
We can't afford to spend the next 4 years going backwards. I'm running to make sure that by the end of the decade, more of our citizens hold a college degree than any other nation on earth. I refuse to pay for another millionaire's tax cut by kicking children off of Head Start programs, or asking students to pay more for college, or eliminating health insurance for millions of poor and elderly and disabled Americans on Medicaid.
Have the president's back and register to vote. Go to gotavote.org to register now. That's gotavote.org.
You know we got your back.
Paid for by Obama for America.
Last time on Reason Media.
He said, I am the Joker. But once again, he was still walking into a movie theater that was showing the Batman.
So you're saying that this guy would have done what he has done, even if, like, Steel Magnolia
was playing. He just said, I'm the Steel Magnolia.
It's Reason Radio weeknight. Right here on blogtalkradio.com. If I don't recognize your name, you're Rod Nobody. Look, I don't make this much beef about my broad getting into the house to cook me a meatloaf. But they're really excited about this guy going from one souffle to a big zucchini. I don't know what it is. But she can't stop yammering about this.
Was it Michael Simon?
That's him. That's the guy. That's the guy, Michael Simon. Never forget. Okay, I'll always forget his name because he's a nobody. But anyway, Michael Simon, the ball-headed guy, right? That's it.
Right, right.
Okay, so yeah, he wears a lot of plaid.
Yeah, that's
it. Because he's dressed like a chef. Whatever.
He's an Iron Chef.
Yeah. Is he an Iron Chef?
Yeah, yes.
Is that significant?
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Is it a big deal in the foodie world?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah, it is. Pretty big.
Seriously?
Yeah, it is.
They can lick my balsamic vinegar.
It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on blogtalkradio.com.
We will not take a dime from Washington lobbyists or special interest facts. They will not fund my party. They will not run our White House. We're going to change how Washington works.
This headline in today's New York Times sure seems at odds with that promise to put Washington on the side of the little guy, not the lobbyist.
A rather long list of names of people who are working on Obama's transition team or who have accepted jobs in his White House.
I'm in this race to tell the lobbyists in Washington that their days of setting the agenda are over. They will not work in my White House.
The administration has hired several lobbyists, the president of a lobbying firm that worked for General Motors and Fannie Mae.
Sally Sussman leads Pfizer's powerful lobbying shop, and she's organized events for the president, and she's also donated money for the president and bundled for him.
Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner appointed former top lobbyist for Goldman Sachs as his chief of staff, appointed to the number two position at the Defense Department, a former top lobbyist.
Hundreds of meetings between Obama administration officials and lobbyists, and no official record of who.
The number of fundraisers for the president have also benefited hugely from the energy loan program.
Isn't the president opening himself up to just a charge of hypocrisy on this?
Just a litany of people who have raised so much money, who are clearly lobbyists.
President Obama hasn't even made a token effort to keep his campaign promises of more openness and transparency. It was all just another lie that was told in order to get elected.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama is attacking Romney, gas prices have roughly doubled. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fallout Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hey,
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're Wilbert Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said, because you know something, you're being honest.
Hey, I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Exactly, Mary. Before we go to the top of the hour, what?
We are passing exit 29B from Calverton, Maryland. We are approaching Baltimore.
Okay, so we're
close to Columbia, Maryland. Columbia. I don't know what the other name is.
Okay, but we're approaching Baltimore, Maryland. That means, are we going to see the stadium, the Baltimore Ravens stadium, when we drive by, or no?
Yeah.
We'll see it. That'll be over to our left, right?
Yeah.
All right. So we're
approaching Laurel. We're like going past 270 Laurel exit.
Do you think people will know what you're talking about?
Well, Columbia, Maryland is pretty.
Hell no.
What's that?
Hell no.
Yeah, of course you're not gonna know.
But you know where Baltimore is at. Columbia is right outside of Baltimore.
I don't think I know where that is. I know Baltimore, Maryland. I know nothing else.
Remember where we went to go drop off Justin?
That's right. Yeah, I know there.
We're close to
it. I know there. Anyway. So, anyway, a couple of minutes to the top of the hour right here on Reese on the Radio. The Olympics. I don't know who's following the Olympics this year.
Nobody.
I happen to agree. This is literally going to be the worst Olympics ever.
It was one of the worst opening shows.
I didn't even see it. Did you see the opening show?
No, but one of my colleagues is from England. And he said he was too embarrassed to even watch it. He couldn't even watch it.
Really?
And I read today in the Associated Press, I believe it was in the Associated Press, I read today that that they were recruiting military to fill up the empty seats in the stadium.
Yeah, I heard that there were corporate sponsors who didn't even show up at some of the events. And we're talking about some marquee events, some of the swimming competitions that were so talked about. You know, the Americans versus France and whatnot. And by the way, the Americans are losing miserably in the swimming competitions.
Did somebody win something today, though, because Phelps tweeted, "Congratulations to somebody. Thanks for keeping it in our country."
Well, Phelps has been a complete joke. I think that's over with. His whole I knew his whole background was going to come out and haunt him. When he got caught smoking that bong at the next Olympics, I knew he was going to drop like a hot rock in cold water. He is worthless now. Nobody even cares. No one's even talking about him the way they used to. They've already found the new guy in this Lockney guy, and he's even performing. Yeah, this is just awful. The women's gymnastics, nobody cares about them. I mean, at this particular point, I want to see, like, Americans play, like, you know, javelin. I want to see them javelin throw at this point.
I want to see I'm waiting for the floor exercises and
You want to see some gymnastics?
Gymnastics, yeah. And the ice skate. Are they
going to
ice skate?
Yeah, there's always ice skating.
Oh, so I like that.
No, that's the Winter Olympics.
Which Olympics did you go to?
No, that's the Winter Olympics.
Oh, no, that's right. Yeah, ice skating is the Winter Olympics. That's right. You're absolutely right.
I like that in the Winter Olympics.
Oh, I thought he said he went to the Olympics. Yeah, that's the Winter Olympics. You're right. You're absolutely right.
I like the shot put.
You like shot put? Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Synchronized swimming, I like that. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's all right, whatever.
No, I like the synchronized swimming.
What else is there? The shot put.
How about track and field? You like track and field?
No, not really into that. It's boring. I mean, they're running, for Christ's sake. So what?
You know what I like? You know what I really like in the Olympics, though? I like when they're on those 10 speeds, those $20,000 10 speeds running on that little tiny track.
Right. That's actually kind of fun.
I like that. And I like when they do the skating on the track, too.
Well, that's Winter Olympic as well. But, yeah, I know. That's
really?
Apollo Ono.
Yes.
Yeah, Apollo Ono. That was his competition.
That's on the ice track, though.
Yeah.
No. They do this.
Oh, rollerblading?
Rollerblading thing.
That's right.
I'm waiting to see the Jamaicans dominate on track.
You want to see the Jamaican bobsled?
No, the Jamaicans are dominating on the track.
Yeah, the Jamaicans are dominating, and it's funny how the hell. Well, that's because
dominating in what?
In the track and track and field. That's because. They're dominating in track and field. No, there's some white folks that dominate. Germany used to kick our ass in track and field.
I think the Jamaicans run so fast, we're trying to figure out ways not to have to swim. They want to run on top of the damn water. Well, listen. Speaking of Jamaicans, I got to send you a video, right?
What's that?
I'm going to tag you in the video. But speaking of Jamaicans, I want to tag you in the video. My grandson.
Oh, okay.
He is livid. He is upset. I know this boy is literally in tears, crying, and pissed the hell off because he don't want to be Jamaican.
What were you about
to say? JC, can you try to enunciate? You sound like you have a sack of shit in your mouth. I love you, but I need you to enunciate. I can't understand
a word. I was close to the microphone.
But anyway, moving on.
I said my grandson is livid, pissed off, highly upset because he doesn't want to be Jamaican.
Oh.
I heard your grandson something, he doesn't want to be Jamaican. That's what I understood. You have to enunciate, JC.
Microphone.
Yes, this is phone.
Okay,
what was the competition you said you liked, Mary?
I like when they run, they do this running thing and then they jump.
That's the long jump.
Measure. I like that.
You like the long jump? You didn't even know what it's called.
Whatever, it's running and jumping.
But sometimes Mary is such a girl.
Yeah. Hey, listen, man, we got.
I would think that I was a girl all the time. I don't like switch off from vagina to penis.
Wow.
Come off.
Okay, thanks, Mary. I appreciate it.
Hey, Derek the Bounty Hunter has joined us.
What?
So Derek the Bounty Hunter has joined us.
Say again, JC?
I said Derek the Bounty Hunter has joined us.
Oh, is Derek the Bounty Hunter on? Okay,
yeah.
Keep him on the line. Let's go to the top of the hour. Play a music bed for a little while. We'll go to the top of the hour, and then we'll come back for the second hour of the show because I got plenty of stuff to talk about. I know he wants to get on the phone and talk about tomorrow and go into court. So we'll get him on the phone now in a little bit after we go to the top of the hour. We just passed Columbia.
That's how far. I drive here to work.
Yeah, Mary's showing me where it is that she drives to work every day. But we'll play a bed. We'll come back. Stick around. We'll be more. It's Reese on the Radio live on the I-95. Derek the Bounty Hunter's on the line. We'll get into him. We'll talk about a whole bunch of other stuff. We have got to talk about the Aurora shooter because we got so much more to talk about him and the 142 counts that man got today. And we'll talk about whether or not we're going to see this guy fry or, you know, get injected or whatever. But we'll do that when we get back. Stick around. It's Reese on the Radio. We'll be right back.
Buckle up. It's showtime.
I got something to say to you, boy. Just exactly what you're trying to pull here.
I'm not trying to pull anything.
Well, let me tell you something. You ain't fooling me for a minute. You think I don't see what you are? You're one of those smooth-talking, smart-ass niggas just out for all you can get with your black power and all that other troublemaking nonsense. And as long as you are anywhere around this house, I'm right here watching. You read me, boy? You bring any trouble in here and you just like to find out what black power really means.
We are back at 3-7 Radio, and we are live on the I-95 on this July the 30th, 2012.
It's almost my birthday.
Yeah, I know. Mary's really excited about that. Wednesday is her birthday. She's a birthday girl. I don't know what that means. I don't know why I did it.
I'm a birthday girl. You gotta say birthday.
Yes, I have to say birthday, B-I-R-F.
I was born on August 1st, 1974, at 9:44 p.m. in Queens General Hospital in Jamaica, New York.
You were born at the butcher shop?
Yeah, don't say that
because
they killed my grandmother.
Oh, did they? I'm sorry. That's what we used to call it when we were kids. Anyway, on the phone with us, as we take our ride all the way up to New York, a man who I made this trip with a couple of times.
Yeah,
driving down to Florida.
Hell yeah.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, listen. Yo, happy birthday, Mary. You know what I'm saying? I'm just in case I don't hear from you on Wednesday. You know? And by the way, I was born at Booth Memorial. Okay, I wasn't born in the butcher shop.
my best friend had her console taken out of Booth Memorial. I love that.
You were born at Booth Memorial Hospital?
Yeah.
That's funny part. Was a big wig on Wall Street. That's where the rich people go to be born.
Yeah, yeah.
I was born in Metropolitan Hospital. I don't know if that's significant at all.
Yeah, that's significant.
So, D.
Yeah.
You know we're on our way up there, and speculation is that the prosecutor is going to drop these charges tomorrow.
Oh man, dude, that would be fantastic, brother. You know what I'm saying? That would be utterly fantastic. God damn, Reese, man. You had to see this fine white woman that just walked into 7-Eleven. Yeah. Oh, man. Ain't nothing like a white woman with a sexy behind, huh? You know? There's hope for that race.
You said there's hope for that race?
Wow, that is really effed up.
Anyway, you know, I figured out what, you know, you all know what the problem with the Olympics right now is, right? I mean, y'all, you do know what the problem is, right? They haven't gotten to the events where the brothers are in it. All right, the brothers have been saving American Olympics since like Jackie Owens, dude. You know what I'm saying? And until you get like America's black guys in there, we're not going to be winning in the medal events. All right. Once you get the Soul Brothers in there, y'all going to see the medals piling up.
Well,
dude.
Derek, can I ask you? Hold on, Derek. Can I go so far? Okay, let's go all the way back to.
White woman with the apple bottom booty.
Oh, yo, you got to see this one, man. I ain't lying.
Okay. All right, Derek, let me ask you this. Not since Athens, has there been a dominant African American Olympian? And you know what I'm talking about here. Michael Johnson was probably the last dominant African American Olympian. Since
you
then,
too,
you had the emergence. Think about this, Derek. Yeah, since the Atlanta Olympics. You've had the emergence of people like Sean White, Michael Phelps. What's the Olympic skier? The real pretty blonde white girl, the downhill skier.
Dude, we suck in the Winter Olympics too, man. Yeah, anytime you have the Olympics and the brothers are not in it, we don't pile up the medals, man. It's just one of those things. All right. Serious,
yeah,
man.
But do you think that's the reason why there hasn't been any interest in the last Olympics, Derek? Michael Phelps was. Literally, the ratings were killer. And
you know what bothers me with Michael Phelps is, let's face it, you know that Usain Bolt and the Jamaicans are smoking weed. And they're tearing it up. How come Michael Phelps, man, what, they give him inferior weed, man? This dude is like, he got caught getting a bong, and, you know, his whole career fell off. I don't get it. You know what I'm saying? And you look at Usain's both eyes, you know he smoked weed. You know it. I don't smoke weed for 23 years. I know that man smoke weed. All right? And this
Derek, though, but wait. You're telling me that Usain Bolt, you know he smokes weed, but he's still. But remember, he almost didn't qualify this year. Remember that, right?
He's got to do his thing. Well, you know, that gives America a shot, man, because he got to get rid of that Jamaican dude. He's killing it, man. He's killing us in the track. He's just our brother. What's our brother? His last name is Gay. He's like America's hope, man. He's the only one that's been holding it down.
It's been a while, but you know what? You are making a valid point. During the Summer Olympics, the African Americans always do well. Now, I'll tell you, the people who are really, really paying attention to these Olympics, you know who they're waiting for. This girl, Lolo.
Oh, you're talking about the chick from Paraguay. The javelin throw.
The Lolo.
Wrong one.
Lolo, she's in the McDonald's commercial, real white skin, got freckles in her face.
Yeah. I know you're talking about.
Everybody's following her. She's the odds-on favorite to win. She's really, you know, she's got a little like, she's kind of got the same fanfare that Flojo had back in the days. People are really, really paying attention to her. But I'll be honest with you, because we're not faring well in a lot of the other places, especially gymnastics, I think people are really waiting for track and field because that's where African Americans dominate.
Yeah, dude, we gotta come back, man. I mean, the swim team killed me when we lost to France. We were winning, you know. Then they choked up at the end, man. I'm like, man, you know, I'm serious, man. We really gotta get, you know. And this is America, man. You know, we don't import weed like we used to, man. This is some real grade A stuff here. We got to get Michael Phelps some better weed, man. I mean, seriously, man. Something's wrong with this dude. Y'all can't have him smoking this commercial stuff, man. We got to get him that, you know, that high-powered smoke, you know?
You know what I'm interested to find out, Derek? Why is it that I haven't been seeing, like, real exclusive coverage of basketball in the Olympics this year? Am I missing something? Is there...
you know... They try to hype it up and say that this team could compete with Dream Team 1. I'm like, yeah, in what lifetime, you know?
Yeah, that's that garbage that LeBron James was talking.
Yeah, man. Come on, man.
But listen, like, we're taking another call, guys.
Oh, who else do we got on the line?
We've got Mike from Florida.
Hey, Mike!
Hey, man. I can't sit back and let Derek continue to spew his disinformation. You do understand, Derek, that white people win far more medals in the Olympics, summer and winter, than black people, right?
Oh, you kidding me, man? Dude,
really?
Let me talk.
There are only three events that black people are competitive in the Summer Olympics. There are general athletics, basketball, and boxing. Every other Olympic event is dominated by white people. Swimming, wrestling, shooting, diving, rowing, gymnastics, sailing, tennis, weightlifting, cycling, archery, equestrian events, volleyball, canoeing, synchronized swimming, golf, softball, baseball, rugby. Do you think black people compete in those? No.
What is their problem? How come those other white people are beating us, man?
Guys.
Mike came down here with an entire dossier of the every Olympic sport there is in the summer. But Derek, he makes a valid point. I do not see black people kicking ass in the equestrian events.
Yeah, but you know what? Black people don't really participate in those events, though.
But that's my. Well, I think he makes a valid point, Derek. Is that, I mean, maybe more televised events that black people dominate in are exactly as he put it, basketball, track and field, and what else is there?
Well, there were ways to make money professionally in a lot of those sports that Mike ran down. We would dominate because we'd invade those sports.
Oh, no, boxing. That's what he said, boxing. Because, you know, we've had a lot of greats. We had Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard, and, of course, Mike Tyson. in the Olympics. They were two of our biggest Olympic medalists in that sport. In track and field, you got Carl Lewis, you got Michael Johnson. You know, we get a lot of big names in those sports. You never ever hear about African Americans in the Olympics. If you talk about some of the biggest names that we know in the Olympics who have been medal winners, think about how many white people come out there. You know, Greg Louganis is not black. You know what I mean?
No,
it's like the reason
Dominic
you know Greg Louganis. Boom?
That's a Dominic Dawes.
Yeah, Dominique Dawes. You got one black girl in gymnastics.
Her cousin, Dominique Dawes' cousin works at the same company that I work for.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I work at the Columbia location.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I trained.
Yeah, but no. But the point that I was trying to make is those were sports where we could make money professionally, and they were big paying sports. You'd find more blacks that would compete in it.
Yeah, but you know what? If you were to really break it down, though, as far as medals go, white people dominate black people in the medals, Derek. Let's put Derek back on. Derek, you know he's right.
All right, Reese. Okay. White people dominate in those sports that you can't make money in. Okay, in those sports where you gotta have another job. Okay, yes, they dominate in those sports. Okay, but then in the gold medal ones, where after the Olympics are over and you can make some money in it, yes, black people dominate in those, buddy. You know, don't sit over here and you know you talk about the Winter Olympics. What is that thing where they call where the guy pushes the medal the ball across the ice with where he's shaving the ice and pushing the What is that guy? You know what I'm talking about. What's the name of that sport? Anyway, I think the guy's a fucking swimmer or something
Put Mike on. Mike knows the name of that sport.
God damn,
Mike,
dude.
What's the name of that sport?
Curling.
Mike?
It's called curling.
Curling. I think that guy's like a plumber or something like that, or a damn fisherman or some crap in his real job. Okay?
You
got to put him on hold sometimes.
Yeah.
Mike, make your point, and then we'll let Derek come back on. I love him when he's on the air.
The guy's having a freak out because I called him on his bullshit and proved him wrong.
He knows that. He knows that you're right, but Derek is still going to defend that the reason why people aren't watching the Olympics is because the only people who really garner a lot of attention in sports
and here's
are African Americans.
Athletics is track and field. Black people may dominate some of the track events, but they don't dominate the field events. Shot put, javelin, all that stuff. That's like big, burly white dudes.
Well, that's true, because I've never seen a black person ever dominate on the high jump.
Right.
I'll never see that.
The only decathlete you had was that Dan O'Brien, and he was half and half.
Say again, Mike?
The only decathlete who was an American who medaled and was black was, I think, that Dan O'Brien, and he was only half black.
That's right. He had to have a little white in him. Okay, now put Derek back in so he can lose his mind.
Okay, so hold on one second. Like I said, I go back to the sports where you can make money at. You know, it's like, seriously, you know, when the Olympics are not on, when do you turn to ABC and see somebody shot putting, dude? You know what I'm saying? You see track and field and other things where they have, like, real sponsors. You'll see the black track runners doing things when the Olympics are not on, right? But like I said, those sports that nobody cares about, like that air rifle contest, you know what I'm saying? Like, how many people, I didn't know if I kept my Daisy rifle that I could have won an Olympic event with that, okay? I mean, come on, man. Black people are interested in that because you can't make no money. But any of the exciting sports, you know what I'm saying? The black people dominate those and come home with the gold medal. What's up with America's white guys, man? What's the deal with that? How did we lose that swimming event the other night, man? It was depressing, man. What's the deal? I'm seriously, what's the problem with America's white guys? Let me know. What's going on? Because I'll tell you right now, when America's solo brothers come on, we're going to be tearing up them gold medals, man. I can guarantee that. I don't got to call the Psychic Friend Network for nothing on that one. You know what I'm saying? That's going to be us. All right, we're gonna do our part.
All right,
quote me on that.
So Derek, wait. So you're telling me that you believe that? Sorry, that the most exciting parts of sports are only the events that black people are performing in?
Yeah.
dominate the last Olympics? As far as, like, you're going to tell me that Michael Phelps didn't dominate the Olympics last 4 years ago?
I mean, he did his problem. What's his problem right now, man? What's his problem right now? Seriously, what's his problem, man? I mean, he's embarrassing, man. Dude, we lost to France, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, dog, come on.
France is not Kazakhstan, Derek.
They're socialists. They're socialists. How did he lose to the socialists? He come with the freedom fries? What happened?
Hey,
Mike,
guys,
please
we
jump
we
in.
We picked up a new caller. Hold on, we picked up a new caller. I believe this is Edwin from Connecticut.
Edward.
Hey, guys, how's it
Edward
going?
Edward in Connecticut.
You know, I don't know what the big deal is. I mean, it's obvious that there are some sports that whites are better at and there's some sports that blacks are better at. You know, if you want to level a playing field, you know, we should maybe bring back or introduce cotton picking and cane cutting into the Olympics. That way more blacks would don't get some more gold medals.
Edward! Cotton picking? We should make that an Olympic event?
Why not? You know, they want more blacks to win medals, you know? Maybe that will give them advantage.
All right, I'm sorry, JC, I have to hear him scream, so please put Derek back on. Come on, Derek, all right, that was funny, don't get mad.
Duh, come on, man. Come on, man. Come on, man. You know? Come on, man. You know?
But Derek, let's be honest. I don't want to, I'm sorry, every time I see a track and field event, I get turned off. Because I know exactly who's going to win. I know who's racing.
Can I tell America to get a white boy instead of running? What's the problem with that? Why America's white guys can't run?
What I would like to see, Derek, you know what I would like to see? I would like to see a gold medalist swimmer who's African-American.
When is the last time you seen a gold medalist white guy running, dude? Come on, run.
No, blacks have an advantage because of this center of gravity.
I want to see Pat Riley go out there and draft a white guy to be on his black basketball team, man. I want to see that. You know, you ever notice that any of Pat Riley's teams, if there's a white guy there, he was there before Pat Riley got there? Pat Riley doesn't bring any white guys in here. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing I'd like to see. Wouldn't you like to see that? You know, and sit there and think about that. When's the last time you've seen America bring a white guy on the American basketball team? Since that center that was, you know, remember when they had the Dream Team and they had to stick one college player on there? They brought that one white guy. That was the last time I seen them bring a white guy on the Dream Team for America. You ever sit there and think about that? That was like the Atlanta Olympics, dude. You know what I'm saying? Ever since then,
well,
that was just stripped.
Well, okay, I'll admit, but you know what? The truth be told, some of the most exciting sports, I will admit, the most exciting sports that are out there today, black people happen to dominate, with the exception, of course, of baseball. You know, okay, so, I mean, let's be honest. All right? Baseball, America's pastime. Black people don't play that sport as often as much as they play basketball. I would like to see more black people playing baseball.
And on the same token, Reese, as Americans, we're still getting our ass kicked in that by the Chinese.
Yeah,
yes,
what's
and
deal
the
with
Chinese?
That, man? You know, did y'all see that North Korean weightlifter? You know what I'm saying? I mean, Lord, you know when they had
you're
the,
talking
they
about
had,
the North Korean girl? You talking about the girl?
No, they had this weightlifting event. You know, where the guys are, pushing the weights above their head. Anyway, the North Korean guy got the gold medal, and I was over here like, Lord, did they have, like, battery cables on his dad's balls to, like, you know, win or else, you know?
That was the clean and jerk competition. That was
yeah,
the clean
yeah,
and jerk
yeah,
competition.
Yeah. I was like, damn, man.
That's because it took all the food from North Korea. That's because it took all the food from North Korea and gave it to that one dude.
Excuse me, Edward. How about the chick last year that they demanded the DNA test on? Did she come back this year?
But no.
She didn't.
No. Wait, hello?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on one second. Now, say that again. I got a lot of noise around me. One more time, say that again.
Remember, was she African or was she Jamaican? The chick last year that they thought was a guy.
Oh, dude, I have no clue. Oh, wait. Which you know, we're talking about basketball or what?
No, she was on track.
Oh, Jesus, man. Dude, you know what, man?
And they thought that she was a guy, and they questioned, and they wanted a DNA test.
Oh, what team was that? Was that the South Africa or something like that?
I know she's from
no, that was West Germany. It's always West Germany with those things.
Yeah.
This was a black chick.
Yeah, it was a black chick, man. I mean, but she really looked like a dude, man.
She looked like a man, yeah.
But you know what? I'm gonna keep it real now. You know that.
Yeah, her name
was
Caster Semenya.
What's her name?
Caster Semenya. Semenya.
You know what, though? That basketball chick now, the one that dominated for, I forget which college it was.
The chick who plays for Baylor.
Yeah, dude, that
her
chick
is
like masculine, dude. That
you're
chick
talking about
is
that
like
chick. You're talking about the chick from Baylor. Her first name is Brittany.
Yeah, the one to be dunking on. She dunks on all the chicks. Yeah.
Dude, she
that
got
chick
the
is
man.
Like that chick is like real masculine, huh? I'm like, whoa. You know what I mean? I look at her and I get
it.
Yeah,
you to speak.
That chick is a dude. I don't care what anybody says.
That chick, I mean, whoa, you know? Remember she mushed some other chick? I was like, I don't blame that other chick for being scared of her, man. I was like, damn.
All right, we got to go to a break. Is Mike still on?
Yeah, Mike's here.
Oh, did he? Okay, Mike, you still there?
Yeah, just to let Derek know, there's a white sprinter named Jeremy Warriner who won 3 gold medals. He won 2 gold in the 2004 Athens Games and a gold in 2008 Beijing, buddy.
Oh, okay, all right.
He has the third fast. Dude, why do you let me come talk? He has the third fastest 400 meters in history, and he's white.
Dude, y'all got hope. Dude, y'all got hope. I seen a white girl with a nice ass today, man. Y'all got hope. Huh?
Well, you know, the day I see a black woman with good credit will be even.
Oh.
We'll be back in 6 on the radio.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message. 4 years ago, we made history. Now it's time to move forward and finish what we started together. We have to show the president we have his back.
We can't afford to spend the next 4 years going backwards. I'm running to make sure that by the end of the decade, more of our citizens hold a college degree than any other nation on earth. I refuse to pay for another millionaire's tax cut by kicking children off of Head Start programs, or asking students to pay more for college, or eliminating health insurance for millions of poor and elderly and disabled Americans on Medicaid.
Have the president's back and register to vote. Go to gottavote.org to register now. That's gottavote.org.
You know we've got your back.
Paid for by Obama for America.
Last time on Resettle Radio.
He said, I am the Joker. But once again, he was still walking into a movie theater that was showing the Batman.
So you're saying that this guy would have done what he has done, even if, like, Steel Magnolia played.
Even said, I was Steel Magnolia.
It's Resettle Radio weeknight, right here on blogtalkradio.com.
If I don't recognize your name, you're Rod Nobody. Look, I don't make this much beef about my broad getting into the house to cook me a meatloaf. But they're really excited about this guy going from one souffle to a big zucchini. I don't know what it is. but she can't stop yammering about this.
Was it Michael Simon?
That's him. That's the guy. That's the guy, Michael Simon. Never forget. Okay, I'll always forget his name because he's a nobody. But anyway, Michael Simon, the ball-headed guy, right? That's him.
Right, right.
Okay, so yeah, he wears a lot of plaid.
Yeah, that's
so he's dressed like a chef. Whatever.
He's an Iron Chef.
Yeah. Is he an Iron Chef?
Yeah, yes.
Is that significant?
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Is it a big deal in the foodie world?
Yeah, it is.
Really?
Yeah, it is. Pretty big.
Seriously?
Yeah, it is.
They can lick my balsamic vinegar. It's Reese on the Radio weeknights right here on BlogTalkRadio.com.
We will not take a dime from Washington lobbyists or special interest facts. They will not fund my party. They will not run our White House. We're going to change how Washington works.
This headline in today's New York Times sure seems at odds with that promise to put Washington on the side of the little guy, not the lobbyist.
A rather long list of names of people who are working on Obama's transition team or who have accepted jobs in his White House.
I'm in this race to tell the lobbyists in Washington that their days of setting the agenda are over. They will not work in my White House.
The administration has hired several lobbyists, the president of a lobbying firm that worked for General Motors and Fannie Mae.
Sally Sussman leads Pfizer's powerful lobbying shop. She's organized events for the president, and she's also donated money for the president and bundled for him.
Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner appointed former top lobbyist for Goldman Sachs as his chief of staff. Appointed to the number two position at the Defense Department, a former top lobbyist.
Hundreds of meetings between Obama administration officials and lobbyists, and no official record of who.
The number of fundraisers for the president have also benefited hugely from the energy loan program.
Isn't the president opening himself up to just a charge of hypocrisy on this?
Just a litany of people who have raised so much money who are clearly lobbyists.
President Obama hasn't even made a token effort to keep his campaign promises of more openness and transparency. It was all just another lie that was told in order to get elected.
Stay right where you are. Don't go anywhere. Reese on the Radio returns in a moment right here on blogtalkradio.com.
The Obama attack machine has started, spending millions to sling mud or oil at Mitt Romney. Why? Because in the five states where Obama's attacking Romney, gas prices are roughly double. But Obama's mud can't cover up his failed energy policies, policies that are hurting small businesses and working families. America deserves solutions, not attack ads covering up Obama's failures. 4 years of failed leadership are all we can afford. Send a message.
Hey guys, I'm Jordan Sparks.
I'm Chase Crawford.
Hey, what's up? It's Usher.
Hi, I'm Rachel Bilson.
I'm Hayden Christensen.
I'm Peyton Manning.
Hey, we're Fall Out Boy.
I'm Jared Archuleta.
I'm Corbin Blue.
I'm Kristen Bell.
And we're the Jonas Brothers.
And I promise you, none of these people listen to my show. But here's some people who do.
Hey, Reese.
Hi, how you doing?
I don't think you're a buffoon.
Thank you, dear. George, you're on with Reese.
Hi there, Reese.
Hello, George.
Please let me do the talking today.
George, you're going to be brief.
I respect what you said because you know something, you're being honest.
I'm glad that you're bringing up what's most important, and that is the issues and where people stand and what they have for experience.
It's Reese on the Radio, weekdays right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Can you hear me, JC?
Can we get an I-95 update? Where are we now?
Okay, we are literally, what, are we just getting out of Baltimore, Maryland right now?
No, we're still in Maryland. We just passed the toll in Baltimore coming out of the Fort McHenry Tunnel. I don't know where we're at, mile marker 706 on I-95.
Yeah, that's about all we know, too. Literally, there are no signs anywhere, but we're making good time. There's been no traffic, which I'm stunned, because the last time we were driving, we were actually really running behind. We didn't get into New York City till sometime around 3 a.m. the last time that we
really?
Did this, the whole venture. Yeah, it was 3 a.m. by the time we hit Queens.
Wasn't that on a Friday, though?
Yes, it was. It was on a Friday, and it was absolute. Yeah, it was a Friday. It was a Thursday night. You're right. Thursday night, Friday morning was when we got in. Excuse me. So it is. All right, so look, it's Reset Radio. We're live on I-95. Of course, all the guys are here. Edward in Connecticut, Derek the Bounty Hunter in Florida, of course, our good friend, our friendly neighborhood white man, who, by the way, great line, Mike.
Mike, what you should have said is, when I see a black girl with real hair,
then we're even.
Oh, Mary.
It's still a great line. All right, I want everybody's opinion on this. Look, it's not like we need to be told that James Holmes, the shooter in the Aurora movie theater, wasn't going to get all of these charges against him. But I got to ask one question. What was it? 112 counts? 116 counts of attempted murder?
Plus 12 counts of murder? Premeditated.
The whole thing, you got 142 counts by the time it was over with? I mean, let's get this over with, folks. Shouldn't we just hang him?
Try his ass.
I mean, come on. It couldn't get more heinous than this guy right now. What are we waiting for? And now they're telling us that we may not see a trial for another year or so. Timothy McVeigh didn't take this long. Well, okay, maybe it didn't take this long for Timothy McVeigh. That happened in 1993. I mean, we had his ass, you know, tried, died, and laid to the side in 10 years. If not, it was about 9 years by the time we were done with him. Does this really have to go on that long?
What, a week?
Well, yeah, it's been a little over a week or so. But the bottom line is come on. We don't need any. I mean, come on. I know the guy's got to get due process. I understand the whole due process thing. But the guy got 142 counts against him. What are we going to prolong this for? Is there anybody else that suspects that this guy is not going to be convicted of these crimes? His lawyer should go, hey, let's get in the courtroom and get this over with.
Okay, we're passing Joppa Town and Falston, Maryland. Never heard of it. Don't know.
Okay. So, let's go to Derek the Bounty Hunter on this one, since he's somewhat involved in law enforcement. Derek, isn't this a wrap?
Well, you know, to me it's like, you know, how many other witnesses do you need? You know, how many other suspects do you have, you know? But, you know how it is. Everybody's due their, you know, day in court, blah, 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 you know, so. I mean, I know it kind of makes no sense, but, you know, especially, I think that
if you have a defense, then you should get your day in court. He doesn't have a defense. He did it.
Yeah.
Right. There's no defense here. I mean, come on. Now that, you know, we know he was seeing a psychiatrist, which I believe, to be honest with you, I still think that was a plan by this kid.
He's trying to make it like a crazy thing. He's definitely trying to do the insanity thing, you know. But
right, I think there's premeditated defense of insanity by mailing this book with the stick figures and the shooting stuff. I think that this guy had an idea that I'm going to commit the ultimate crime, and I'm going to see how far I can get away with it. And I'm going to use the guy is a neuroscience major. I think that this guy is really pulling like a Kevin Spacey, you know, in the movie Seven kind of deal.
You know,
I think he had this psychologically planned out. I know some people are thinking I'm going off the deep end with this one, but I think that this guy meticulously planned this out, and he's going to draw on some sympathy in some sort of way that he is going to be, like, everything that he does is going to be analyzed for years to come. He'll be a subject matter for schools and colleges and neurosciences for the rest of the, you know, from the day to the day the world comes to an end. That's what I believe this knucklehead is about.
Yeah. Yeah, he definitely got his place in the history book, if anything about that, you know?
Yeah, that goes without saying. Edward, what do you think? Do you think I'm off the deep end here by saying that this guy may have meticulously planned out an insanity plea?
Oh, yeah, I think that he's an intelligent guy. You know, he's never shown any symptoms of insanity before. I think he's an evil man who planned this, and now he's trying to get as much attention as he can by acting a fool.
I like the way you put that, acting a fool. But do you really think that he was just acting a fool? I think that this guy wants his name in the record books.
Yeah, I don't mean he was acting a fool by murdering the people.
Well, I know what you meant.
Yeah, in court. He's, you know, behaving like he's a lunatic.
Right.
purposely.
Yeah, I think that this guy is getting the proper attention that he's getting, no matter how many times people plea, please stop mentioning his name, don't show his picture, don't give him any more attention than he already deserves, try to take him out of the lexicon. This guy, I believe, knows that because the crime is so heinous that people refuse to turn away. He knows our rubbernecking society. We've got to know his name. We've got to know more about him. But here's what I find the most alarming, and Mike is probably going to take, he's probably going to agree with me here, but this is what I find the most amazing about James Holmes. There's nobody coming forward who knows this guy. Every person who can tell us a little bit about him turns out to be a guy he was next to when he had a beer, or somebody who may have seen him in the hallway. You know, everything that they know about this guy, he is a complete mystery. No one seems to know him. And that's why I find even more odd about the fact that he would want to seek so much fame. If this was a guy who wanted so much fame and wanted so much notoriety, why is he so mysterious? But maybe that just adds on to the notion that he was meticulous in all of this. Nobody knows who I am, but when they do know me, everyone will speak my name. Does that sound oddball to you, Mike?
I think you guys are missing one of the obvious things here. It's turning out this guy was under the care of a psychiatrist that's been released in the past few days, that he was seeing a psychiatrist at the university. And this psychiatrist had been penalized in the past for improper writing of prescriptions. So I will guarantee you that this guy was doped to the gills on some kind of antidepressant. If you'll do your research, you'll find that most of these shooters have been on antidepressants. And there was a gentleman who came forward. Oh, yeah. Mass shootings are tied to antidepressant usage.
Really?
Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold were on antidepressants. The kid at Pearl, Mississippi was on antidepressants. Sung Hee Cho was on antidepressants. That's a causative factor. And some gentleman came forward just today or yesterday and said that he actually saw James Holmes at Cabela's getting a sight put on his rifle way before this, and said that he just looked out of it and weird. And the guy's behavior after the shooting was very indicative of somebody who's whacked out on meds. So I would look at antidepressants before I looked anywhere else.
Well, you know what, Mike, I wholeheartedly agree with you. But that's never going to come up because it would be too big of an issue. They're not even going to talk about that because everyone would be questioning medicine. Because we all know that when people have depression issues, if they just simply change their diet and change their physical activity, 9 times out of 10, those depression symptoms will go away.
Well,
but
the actual number of people who have real clinical depression is very minimal. What you have is you have doctors writing scripts for antidepressants just because somebody's bummed out.
Well, and not just because somebody's bummed out. They're writing these scripts because you have these prescription drug companies that are pushing the drugs on the doctors, and the more they write for them, and the more that the doctors are able to get their patients to use them, the bigger bonus the doctors get.
Well, yeah, and patients come in, patients self-diagnose and come in asking for it, too. You know, patients will walk in the doctor's office and say, I think I could benefit from Prozac. And the doctors are like, okay. And half the guys that are writing scripts for that stuff aren't even psychiatrists. They're just regular MDs.
But as a doctor, you took an oath, and you're going against that oath by prescribing somebody medication that you know could potentially hurt them or that you know that they don't really need.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you watch the commercials for that stuff, it always says, you know, may cause suicidal or homicidal behavior.
Right. So are you saying that now with all of that information that now we know he was seeing a psychiatrist, the notebook, they're going to fight for that notebook to stay out of evidence, you know, that it was premeditated in any way. They're going to claim, you know, doctor-client privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean that they're now going to sweep this under the rug, that we may here's an opportunity for us to have a honest conversation about mental health, and it'll never happen because we'll never ever see or never ever get to know whether or not this guy was being treated for depression or whether or not he was given antidepressant medication.
I mean, they kind of buried it on the Columbine shooting, and I think there's too much money involved in antidepressants for them to panic people about antidepressants. But,
yeah, there's,
you know,
no money, there's no money in telling people, hey, we can fix almost all of your aches and pains and your woes and your worries by sending you to a nutritionist and getting your body to where it needs to be so that your brain can then follow.
Exactly.
There's no money
or
in that.
Leave the crappy situation you're in, you know. Get a new job and leave the people that are making you depressed in your life. You know, but Americans
exactly.
want a pill.
Well, we are the most medicated society in history.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I've never ever seen the stories that I've seen on the amount of medication that we deal with. I mean, Gummy, we got medication for everything, for crying out loud. There's a pill for everything.
A huge percentage of people are on antidepressants. I mean, it's a sizable percentage of Americans.
I can tell you firsthand that I had stopped smoking cigarettes and I stopped drinking diet soda.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like a whole new person.
Absolutely.
I know when I need to cleanse my system. And when I cleanse my system from the toxins, not only is my mental capacity better, but my physical, everything. I'm happier. I've got more energy. I'm not, you know, I don't worry as much.
This is why marijuana is illegal.
Say that again?
Yeah. This is why marijuana is illegal. Big Pharma doesn't want people to, I don't know, come home after work and smoke a joint instead of taking Prozac or Xanax. There's no money
in it. So are you saying that you advocate the use of marijuana to deal with depression better than you would
absolutely. Absolutely. Nobody gets high and kills themselves or shoots up a school.
Okay, we might have to bring Derek in on this one.
I believe that too, though. I would much rather go home, and I would be less anxious about going home and sitting down and smoking a joint than going home and pulling out my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday pill bottle, pill thing, my pill sorter, and have to take 5 or 6 different medications.
Hey, Reese.
Do you know a comedian named Ralphie May, Reese?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I know him.
Yeah, you know, Ralphie was a major stoner, smoked like 3 ounces a week or something. And he had pulmonary embolism on a cruise ship last year and almost died. So the doctors told him he can't smoke weed anymore because his lungs aren't good enough. And he's really fat, and they told him that the weed was slowing his metabolism down and jacking his estrogen through the roof, so he couldn't even do edibles. So he had to switch to pharmaceuticals. He went from taking no pharmaceuticals at all and just smoking weed to taking 8 pills a day to deal with the pain and anxiety and all the stuff he has. 8.
Man.
And I know that couldn't have been good for him.
Can't be.
So, Derek, but, I'm sure that you're definitely on board with the marijuana diagnosis, right?
Well, you know, Reese, I have stopped smoking weed now for, I'm approaching about a year and a half now. And I can tell you honestly, I'm not a happier person, you know? Right now,
that you haven't smoked weed in a year and a half?
Yeah. You believe
and
that,
you're
man?
And you're not a happier person?
No, not at all. You know, I'm sitting here right now. You know, I sit over here and, you know, I can't smoke, you know. A friend of mine was smoking some purple tonight. I mean, I'm smelling this thing and I'm like, God, I'm missing out, you know, and right now I'm sitting at home. I'm drinking some Cold 40 Flies Blast Fruit Punch flavor, you know. And
Is he drinking
Cold 45? No, the Blast.
Did you really just tell me you're drinking fruit-flavored malt liquor?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, nobody
likes the Twitter. Dude, I've been drinking, you know, vodka all week, and, you know, it turned me off. I drank some Heineken's the other day. It wasn't doing it to me. And, you know, I go to the liquor store and I see, you know, that picture of Snoop Dogg with the suit
you're
on.
Not
you know,
that,
you know, and I'm drinking some Blast.
So you're drinking fruit flavored malt liquor by Colt 45.
Yeah, you know, Snoop Dogg on the billboard.
Did you put some Jolly Ranchers in it?
Yeah. Oh, come on. Come on. I don't drink that purple drink, man. This is the fruit punch flavor. All right, so this is the
dude,
right.
Are you smoking a Swisher Sweet at the same time?
Dude, like I said, I ain't smoking nothing. I am not smoking nothing, and that's the problem. Are you chewing on some tobacco right now? Come on, dude.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Come on.
No, I'm actually eating a cup of yogurt, so there's your stereotype.
Derek, nobody likes a quitter, dude. You got to pick up.
I want to legalize this marijuana so I can pick up a blunt again, man. God,
okay,
it's tough.
Listen.
I'm doing this so I can get me a federal job.
Derek, if you move to D.C. and go to the doctor and tell them that you're depressed, they'll prescribe you legal marijuana.
Yeah, but
that's
come
all
on,
you need,
man.
Derek.
Is that legal
you'll
stuff
just,
like
you'll
I
You'll just
I
have to travel.
That.
Derek,
you know,
you'll just have to travel to Jersey to pick it up because there's no dispensary. There's no dispensary.
I don't want to get no legal stuff, you know. I need some shit, you know.
Oh, no, dude. The legal stuff is way better.
Oh, the legal stuff. Yeah, that's what everybody says. The legal stuff is a whole lot better.
Legal stuff is way better than Mexican dirt weed. It's like that super
really
designer hydro
high.
Stuff.
I got to
give you a free cookie.
You know, what kind of weed I want to smoke. Y'all ever seen that movie Reefer Madness? You know, ever seen that movie Reefer Madness? Do you see how high them kids got on Reefer Madness? You
know?
Yeah, but if you smoke that Reefer Madness weed, you're gonna rape white women. We can't have that.
What?
You know, I mean, I'm curious, man. That would have been like some super chronic, you know? Cause,
yeah, that was the propaganda they did back then. Was that the Reaper was gonna make jazz musicians rape white women?
Yeah, you know.
Oh,
I mean, I do
remember that.
The thing is, you know, I've gotten high and watched that movie, and I'm over here, I'm jealous. I'm like, damn, the shit I'm smoking is not that good.
I love the fact that Derek was calling it super chronic.
You know, getting back to this James Holmes guy
with the
counts they put on him, the only thing I can figure is surely there were more. He didn't shoot 153 people, right? He shot 82 people, basically, right? He wounded 70 and killed 12 or something like that.
Right.
So all I'm thinking is they're going by the number of shots that were fired, because surely there were more than 153 people in a midnight premiere of Batman. And the only way I see them getting 153 shots is these assholes must be counting each round in the shotgun shell, each pellet, as an individual count.
No. I'll tell you what it is. I think what they did was, to count it as 116 people, an attempted murder charge of 116 people. Because, again, in essence, what it was 116 counts of attempted murder. Because of the people who were actually shot and because of the people who actually were killed, what they're counting is for everybody in the building or everybody in that movie theater who
mm-hmm.
didn't get shot. So, in essence,
if you
were in that theater, you're a potential murder victim or a attempted murder victim.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the way that they're going with it. They're saying, look, how many people were in the movie theater at the time? Well, the movie theater holds 165 people or holds 200 people. Well, look, we're going to count it with 12 counts of murder, and then we're going to count everybody who not just got shot, but those who could have potentially been shot, and we're going to cut that all down the line and say everybody is an attempted murder victim.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree. I think there were probably 300 people in that theater easy, you know, because it's a the premiere of Batman. I'll bet they're going like Derek said, they're counting each pellet in the shotgun shell as an attempted murder charge. Because there are nine pellets in a double-aught buckshot, if you use double-aught buck, and the Remington 870 holds 7 plus 1, so that's 8 times 9 is 56.
and then the rest are the rounds he fired from the AR-15 and his handgun.
So you're saying that, in essence, every shell that hit the ground is, in essence, an attempted murder?
No, every, yeah.
Every pellet.
And the shotgun, each shotgun shell is 9 counts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because there's 9 pellets in a shotgun shell.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
This dude was
people are making a big deal about, you know, how did he have all this money to get this stuff, and some of these conspiracy theory idiots are throwing around this $20,000 figure like he had all this money in firearms. No, he didn't. The rifle he had, the Smith & Wesson M&P Sport, is like $629 at Cabela's.
Oh, yeah. The
rifle's
that they
about,
had,
the rifle's about $629. The handguns are about a grand total. The shotgun's about $350. He had about $1,000 worth of ammo in his apartment. And then the body armor, if he had it, is not that expensive, really. You can get it on eBay for
almost
nothing.
Oh, yeah, and consider the fact that he was getting a federal grant at $2,000 a month. Yeah, he had enough money to get everything. He could have been
about
1 month.
He had about $4,000 worth of stuff there at the most.
You know, seriously, you know how this guy saved a lot of money? Dude, he didn't have a girlfriend, man. You know?
Well, and hell, he could have had credit. I mean, he was buying this stuff online, the ammunition, so that was credit cards. You know, and if
dude,
you know you're going to prison forever, why not run up your credit card, yo?
Dude, you have no chicks saying they stood up that this was my man. This dude had
no
girlfriend. No,
but they are saying he was using hookers. He was reviewing girls. He was reviewing girls on the eroticreview.com.
Right, and he was also, he had an account on adultfriendfinder.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, he was kind of a recluse. I mean, again, the way I'm looking at it, nobody seems to know this guy. Apparently, he did a pretty good job of just being a loner.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird that he had no online footprint at all, being no Facebook page, no Twitter account, no nothing.
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 But you know what?
You know,
I'm
how long was he planning it?
I'm going to start investigating that whole thing about what you said about this sort of antidepressant thing because, I mean, that's an interesting factor. I think that's an interesting way to go. You know, I said that when this young man, who was, of course, the shooter at Virginia Tech,
mm-hmm.
You know, he was really, really imbalanced, and a lot of people were talking about his mental health at the time. He was, no, forget about the whole thing about, people kept talking about was he bullied, was he rejected. He was a dejected individual anyway. I mean, it's kind of who he was. You know, he was separate from everyone, and he latched onto one girl he thought was the love of his life,
mm-hmm.
and he reacted to her just in a way that was sort of like, you know, she didn't pay attention to him, she ignored him. I mean, wasn't she one of the first people he shot and killed, if not the first
girl
he killed?
I think she was the first, and he shot her RA next. Then he left and threw something in the lake and nailed a package to NBC News, and then went on a shooting rampage with two handguns, one of which was a .22 handgun, by the way.
Nobody said .22 can't kill now.
Hey, that's why, you know, you should let me have my handgun in that college classroom. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
Oh, man, what?
The kids need to carry weapons, Derek. People need to carry weapons.
Oh, I never said
even
they
you
did,
agree
man.
With that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you're 21 and you got a permit, I don't see why you shouldn't be able to carry it on a college campus.
Trust
you.
Maybe not a college football game.
If your team loses.
Right now.
Or if you play for Penn State.
Yeah, or if you play for Penn State.
Well, maybe
that
you
would
should
be
carry.
Ugly.
Maybe you should carry because, you know, you protect yourself from guys like Sandusky.
That's right.
Or protect little boys from guys like Sandusky.
Right. Absolutely. Hey, by the way, speaking of Sandusky, did you hear about this report about this guy who lost his psychology license because he was reporting about child molestation that was happening as far back as 1986.
I saw a blurb
in Pennsylvania.
What's the story? Who was he reporting?
I don't know whether or not you guys heard about that.
Not really.
You got to look it up. In fact, the article is in the Daily Caller. It's on the Daily Caller website, and this guy literally he lost his license. He had the hammer come down on him and his entire career because he was calling out sexual molestation as far back as 1986, and they attacked him.
Nice.
And destroyed his life. So everybody's saying that, look, this thing could have been going on a whole lot longer. Because Sandusky was there from when? He was there way before 1998.
Yeah, he was there from like the 70s, man. Or the early 80s.
So I'm reading here that go ahead. I just saw an interesting news story
saying,
here online.
If 1998 wasn't when this guy started molesting kids. This guy didn't wake up in 1998 and say, I'm going to start molesting little boys. I mean, the evidence clearly shows that.
Well, yeah, because he was molesting his own stepson.
Yeah, exactly. Right out of the mouths of babes, in fact.
That is so nasty, this dude, man. Oh, my God.
Hey, Derek, as an alumni of Penn State, man, how you feeling, man? Do you feel as though your school has been damaged completely?
Dude, that football program is finished forever, man. You know, they sit over here and say the last school that got the death penalty was
SMU.
SMU. When have you seen that program get prominent again?
They just got prominent again, like the last 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, look how long it took, man.
Oh, no, it took forever. It took over 10, 15 years for them to come back.
Yeah, dude, by the time Penn State gets large again, I'm going to be kicking Social Security in the balls, bro. it's a shame.
So you think it's really, really over?
Yeah, it's over, man. You can stick a fork in it. It's over. God, it's a shame. I mean, I don't know why they didn't nip this thing in the bud in the beginning. Why they didn't do it? What was so important about this guy? This guy must have been. I mean, you know, I sit over here. And, you know, you sort of talk about like psychology. How could Sandusky must have got it? I mean, he must have really acted like he was everybody's best friend for everybody to be have defended this guy. You know,
Derek, that wasn't why. Joe Paterno knew that a scandal like that would do exactly what it's doing to them now. They knew a scandal like that on a football campus would do exactly what happened to them today. He knew it. Joe Paterno foresaw that, and he said, there's no way that we can get this out. The program is clearly more important than the scandal. That's what really, really hurt Joe Paterno, was that he was in a status, you know, he was in a position of he was a deity there. He was a god there. And he knew that with that exposure, with that, you know, with that love and adoration in that community, he knew he didn't want to lose that. He didn't want that tarnished. He was willing to sacrifice the lives of little boys for his own notoriety, for his own popularity, and for his own priesthood, if you would. That's the reason why he was there. That's the reason why he stopped. He wouldn't stop it.
Man, Jesus, man. But you let this damn this dude was a rapist, man. Oh, my God.
Hey, listen to me. He's dead. That's the interesting part. He's dead. At least he didn't have to live to see his statue come down. He didn't have to live to see his name tarnished. When he was alive, you know, when he was still alive, his name wasn't Mud.
They had a riot in his honor. You know?
In his honor. He lived to see. That's what I'm saying. So in his own mind, you know what? He got off easy. He got off easy. At the sacrifice of those boys and what they had to do, which is why I don't care what anybody says. His legacy will go down in history. Paterno's a scumbag. Nobody wants to remember this guy anymore.
He's done.
Dude, he was
now
great.
Bobby Bowden is going to go down in history as the winningest coach ever.
No, they still got Eddie Robinson, man.
No, they're different divisions. Eddie doesn't count. He's down in the Chitlin League of football or whatever.
Come on, man. So he didn't put out no pro athletes.
Well, yeah, but they don't have to read at Grambling.
Come on, man.
The academic standards are a lot lower at Grambling. Trust me. I knew people who went to Grambling. It's not an academic powerhouse.
It's still Division One, man. It's still Division One school, bro.
It's really, really not that. The last time we talked about Grambling was when Spike Lee put out the movie X.
Yeah, Grambling's not an academic powerhouse, dude.
No Nobel Prize winners
from Grambling.
Dude, it's still D1 ball, man.
Nobody ever said, oh, wow, my doctor went to Grambling.
Would you put on every pad in the world to try to line up against one of those Grambling football players?
If I had a gun,
come on, man.
I'd compete against him with a spelling bee, though.
Come on, man.
All right, you guys are too much. JC, let's get us out of here. I promise everybody I will put on the website tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon after we get out of court, we'll find out what the deal is. So make sure you log on to ReeceOnTheRadio.com. You guys will get an update there. And, of course, I will update everything on Facebook immediately. I might even be on Facebook while we're in court. So stick around for that. Thank you, guys. As usual, Mike in Florida, Derek the Bounty Hunter, Edward in Connecticut, and JC. I don't know. Just take us out. We will see you guys when we see you. If not, tomorrow night we'll probably be doing the show. If not, we'll see you on Wednesday. August 1st, big announcement. Stick around, Free Throw Radio.
Nothing gets me.